I don't know if you heard this or not, but the DOJ and the DOE issued letters correcting the Obama administration's unlawful guidance letter to schools last spring. And this is good news for the privacy, safety, and dignity of young students across America, including North Carolina.
No, because you know what he's going to say?
The Obama administration has radically distorted Title IX by interpreting the word sex to mean gender identity. The Trump administration is on its way to setting things straight. Sex is biological sex.
Did you know Glenn Bob was charged with assault?
We've seen a lot of bills that have gotten filed this session in the legislature to overturn House Bill 2. The latest one,
the one before that was filed by the Republicans, and one of the Republicans had done a wonderful job for us at the state level guiding our economy on what undoes privacy and safety of women and girls in bathrooms here. So I urge you to go to religionfreedom.live.
That's our website that enables you to send a message to your legislator asking them to stand strong on House Bill 2. That's religionsfreedom.live. Now, I'm going to set some of these
ships off.
There has been this lie going on amongst the press and repeated by the press that House Bill 2 is hurting the economy of North Carolina. That is completely false. While you can always point to one or two stories where someone may have lost some business because the NCAA pulled a game out of North Carolina, the overall economy of North Carolina is booming. Did you know that Forbes magazine has ranked us number 2 in the state as best states for business? That CNBC has ranked us 5th? That Chief Executive magazine ranked us 3rd? That Site Selection magazine ranked us 2nd? We got it going on, you're right! And just a couple of weeks ago, you know, there was moaning and groaning about how all these conventions Have you heard about the florist from Washington State, Mary Nell Stutzman? She is going to lose her home if the U.S. Supreme Court does not take her case up and reverse the decision of the Washington Supreme Court. Marinelle Stutzman's a 72-year-old grandmother who has owned and operated her own florist shop for years. Marinelle Stutzman declined to provide her creative services to arrange flowers for a same-sex wedding, and she was sued and bullied to the point that she may lose her home by the state of Washington. This is what House Bill 2 prevents in North Carolina. It prevents cities like Charlotte and cities like Raleigh from passing ordinances that put people out of their homes and take their businesses away just because they will not compromise their freedom and their religious beliefs. Now, some people may tend to think that they're growing tired of hearing about House Bill 2, and our legislators are tired of it. I want you to know, it's something they have to deal with every day, more so than just reading it in the paper or seeing it on the nightly news like you do, because the press wants to bring it up every day, don't they? I mean, there's not a day that goes by that it's not in the Charlotte Observer, the News and Observer, WRAL, and all the other news channels. This is because they want to keep hammering their narrative until it somehow becomes the truth. The truth is, House Bill 2 is what the people of North Carolina want. They want privacy, they want protection in the bathrooms, they want freedom to practice their religious beliefs, they do not want to be coerced by the government to violate their conscience. So I urge you, do not grow weary in doing good. I'm preaching to myself, because I'm tired too. I'm tired of hearing about it too. So we won this issue. We need to go on with our lives, and we need to make sure that we provide support and backing to our legislators so they can continue to stand strong on House Bill 2. I want to thank you for being here today, and thank you for listening. And I hope and pray, one more thing, I do hope and pray that the Trump administration will sign this big executive order that's been prepared and waiting for weeks on religious freedom. He's already started with the repeal of their position on transgender bathrooms and their position, the Obama administration's position on Title IX. But he needs to go further, and he needs to execute this executive order on religious freedom that will protect us from being bullied and coerced and punished by the government. So thank you so much.
Thank you again, Tammy. We really appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, including home. Yeah, you have been 10 years, and remember the word jihad. After 9/11, many of those who called him crazy wanted his advice. Now, 21 years of self-study, Gary has taught and lectured at various high schools, colleges, and law enforcement agencies. He continues to lecture and speak publicly on terrorism, jihad, sharia, and Islam. He has been a guest on Sean Hannity's show, quoted by Michelle Malkin, Dr. Philip Wares, Wally Fares, President Trump's foreign policy advisor, called his work Leading in the Movement and the Study on Counterterrorism. His articles have appeared in dozens of publications and translated into several languages, from Spanish to Vietnamese. He hosts a weekly radio show called America Akbar that is simulcast on two stations. He's also a radio host with Fox News affiliate Israel News Talk Radio, Israel's only English-speaking talk radio station. He is a veteran of the Israeli Defense Forces and the U.S. Navy. Please welcome Gaddy Edelman.
Okay, I'm height challenged. Is this great or what? Come on, guys. Hello, Raleigh. Nothing like being surrounded by what my fiance refers to as my people. Gotta love it. And our friends have left, which is nice. And you know, I'm going to speak on national security, but I want to mention the guys that were out here. I have it on good authority. It's kind of funny because they obviously believe in capitalism, because I have it on good authority that they were all from Florida and they're being paid $1,000 a week to disrupt us and other protests in the area. I just thought that was a little ironic. People, right now, we as a country and a world are at a crossroads. Our freedoms, our very way of life is on the line. You may think that that sounds a bit over the top, but if I told you on September 10, 2001, that the next day Islamic terrorists would murder 3,000 people in attacks in New York, at the Pentagon, and in Pennsylvania, and destroy the World Trade Center, you would have said I was over the top then too. What is happening right now throughout our country and the world is the 1930s all over again. Anti-Semitism is rearing its ugly head in ways and numbers we haven't seen in over 80 years. Schools, cemeteries, and other Jewish institutions are being attacked and threatened for no other reason than the fact that they are Jewish. But it goes far beyond that. Islamic terrorism, jihadism, is reaching new heights as well. The number of deadly terror attacks carried out in the name of Allah since 9/11 is 30,392, with 209,898 people killed. Let me repeat that. Since 9/11, 2001, there have been 209,898 people murdered in the name of Islam. If you really think that it can't happen here again, or that it can't happen to a member of your family, let me remind you of just a few of the 50 successful terror attacks here in the U.S. since 9/11. And yes, there have been 50. An additional 145 Americans have been killed in 50 separate acts of deadly Islamic terror or Islamic-related honor killings in the United States. The Joint Terrorism Task Force has been credited with foiling 93 terror attacks and plots against the U.S. since 2001, including 12 just this year. Let me remind you of some of these. The Muslim snipers Lee Boyd Malvo and John Allen Muhammad that shot and killed a total of 22 people between February and October 2002. Muhammad Reza Tahrir Azhar, who ran down 9 people right over here at UNC Chapel Hill in March 2006. November 2009, we had Nidal Hassan, who murdered 14 and wounded 30 at Fort Hood. And yes, it was 14, not 13, because one soldier, Juanita Warman, was pregnant. April 2013, the Tornet brothers murdered 4 people and injured 264 in Boston. September 2014, Alton Nolan beheaded his fellow co-worker, Colleen Huffer, while another employee, Tracy Johnson, was stabbed and critically injured at Vaughn Foods in Oklahoma. May 2015, we had the Garland, Texas, Draw Muhammad event. July 2015, Muhammad Yusuf Abdulaziz murdered 4 U.S. Marines in Chattanooga, Tennessee. December 2015, Saeed Rizwan Farooq and Tashfeen Malik murdered 14 people and seriously injured 22 others in San Bernardino, California. June 2016, Omar Mateen murdered 49 people and wounded 53 others at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. September 2016, Ahmed Khan Rahami set off the New York and New Jersey bombings, wounding 31. And yes, this year, January 2017, Esteban Santiago Ruiz murdered 5 and wounded 6 in the Fort Lauderdale Airport. Now, did you forget about some of these? Have we become that complacent, or have these attacks just become commonplace? ISIS still controls around 24,000 square miles. Besides Syria and Iraq, nations where it has official branches include Algeria, Nigeria, Libya, the Sinai Peninsula, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the Caucasus area to the south of Russia. They have aspiring branches in Mali, Egypt, Somalia, Bangladesh, Indonesia, and the Philippines. Currently, our own FBI is investigating over 1,000 ISIS investigations in all 50 states. But one of the biggest problems came from within our own government. The previous administration and the White House in 2009 urged Washington to stop using the terms jihadist or Muslim or Islam, asserting that terrorists are simply extremists. Tell me about it. 2 years later, the White House ordered a cleansing of training materials that Islamic groups deemed offensive. All of our training materials and intel, everything we learned since 9/11 was purged and shredded. This purge extended far beyond the FBI and included all other government agencies.